Moncrief on News Talk.
It is indeed time for parenting. Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Here's your first question. I have a six-year-old boy in senior infants and twins, one boy, one girl, 18 months younger, who recently started junior infants. My query is with my six-year-old. He gets very angry and has done so from a young age. We get periods where it seems to improve and then disimproves again. It's usually sparked by something one of the twins has done or by having to share my attention with them. We have a good routine and I incorporate one-on-one each day with them by using an egg timer. But it seems no matter what I do, he always wants more. For the past couple of months, his anger outbursts have been more violent and unpredictable. When he's calm, he can rationally talk about what he should do when he's angry. But in the heat of the anger, he doesn't want to do any of the techniques the Molly Potter book shows. My question is there anything else I can do in the heat of the moment to de-escalate it? I try to sit with him, but all he wants to do is hurt whichever twin has upset him or try to damage furniture, slam doors, etc. I have to physically restrain him to stop him hitting or kicking his siblings, which angers him more, but it's the only thing I can do to protect them. Hoping Joanna can help us.
Oh, there's a lot in here, Sean, yeah. Isn't there? And, you know, I'm just thinking when you know, in this family, you have an 18-month-old toddler when twin babies come along. And so in terms of age gap and just developmental competitiveness is what I'm thinking about. He really only had you to himself a little bit of time. And then he had to share you not with one baby, but with two babies and the demands of twins. So he might always be kind of carrying a little bit of these two got in the way of my lovely life. And he's carrying a little bit of that with him. There's something else, though, for me, like when you're talking about these outbursts that he's having, always hold in mind that children who are developmentally now under seven, we shouldn't expect them to self-regulate. In other words, we don't expect them to calm themselves down, to be in charge of their emotions, to be able to work things out themselves. They really can't do that. They co-regulate, which means that if we want them to calm, we have to be the calm through which they're calmed. Now, that's a lot easier for me to say than when you're trying to keep the twins safe, restrain him, mind the furniture, stop everyone getting hurt and things getting damaged. There's a whole lot going on there. When you're restraining him, and I mean, I'm understanding that, Sean, as physically holding him so that he can't hurt anything. Try to not do a lot of talking when you're having to hold him and try to turn that holding into, I'm keeping you safe. I'm going to hold you until your body feels calm. I'm going to keep you safe and do some gentle swaying and rocking. Because if it feels like you're physically restraining him, the cue for him to his body, to his mind is pull against you. The more you seek to pull me back, the harder I have to fight to pull away from you. And that's, you know, you might get away with that when they're six. But, you know, when he gets physically bigger and stronger, that's not going to work. I do think you have a bit of sibling rivalry going on. There's only one school class between them as well. Now, you're saying it's usually sparked by something one of the twins has done when or having to share your attention with them. I think that's the crux of this whole issue to begin with. But you are able to identify a pattern to what's triggering him with that. And great, look at you're doing incorporating one-on-one time each day. I mean, that's amazing with three kids who are so close in age that you're managing to do that. But when you say you're using an egg timer, and again, I might be misreading this, but just to put in your head, try not that the focus of that one-on-one time with him is on the egg timer rather than with him, that he's waiting, the time is going, it's going, it's going, I'm losing you rather than I'm having you. So if you could look at, you know, having a different way, maybe you've something in your pocket that lets you know the time. Try not to be so rigid with that if you can, because if he's just focused on the time going, he's not actually being present with you, if that makes sense. So he might not be getting the same kind of value out of that. The bit that's concerning me, though, is then when this letter goes on to say that his anger outbursts, which we'd expect from a kid this age, and there is some context to it, they've been more violent and unpredictable for the last couple of months. Now, the word violent is a very serious word. It's a very strong word. And the unpredictability is now pulling away from there being a pattern. So you can't identify what's happening. I think that piece, when I reach down to the end of this letter that says, will I reach out to a play therapist or is it a phase? I don't think it's a phase, because you're describing him as always having been somewhat angry. You have some context and patterns you can see, but lately those anger patterns have escalated to violence and they've become unpredictable. I would reach out to a play-based therapist, a psychotherapist, a child psychologist, somebody who works in that field who can help you. The Molly Potter book, I'm presuming she means the book I've actually mentioned on here a lot, Sean, the How Am I Feeling book by Molly Potter, which helps kids to work out proactively things they can do when they feel various feelings. I would suggest that not only when do you talk to him about what he could do when he's calm, but actually do it. Practice those things in the book when he's calm, and practice them often, so that when he flips his lid and all of that thinking, reasoning, rational part of his brain is offline, like it is for any of us when we flip our lid, that actually the doing, the repetitive doing of those activities, that's in there for him to default to and to access a bit easier. So I would practice all those techniques. They're just things like stamping your feet and getting outdoors. And on that, I would really focus on increasing his outdoor play. He sounds like a little guy who needs a lot of outdoor play and physical activity. And whatever he's getting, I would look to increase it 10 to 20%.
Right. OK. So too soon for a play therapist, or maybe something they should kind of have in the back pocket?
I would do it now, Sean. Like, yeah. if he's always been angry and the pattern has changed and escalated for a number of months now, and also bear in mind that getting a play therapist won't be as quick as just calling one and booking in next week. So I would actually start that search now in your locality. Your school might have connections to somebody in the community who has made the school aware that they're working. Your GP practice may also know who's in the area and be able to refer you to somebody, or you may well know someone yourself. Equally, if there's a primary care centre, or contact a public health nurse, just to see, are you aware of who's providing services like that in our area?
Yeah. Because it's interesting, in the last couple of months now, I suppose they're only back to school that long, but maybe it might represent the time in which he became increasingly aware that they would be in the school too.
And maybe, that's exactly what I'm thinking. It's so interesting that you're saying that as well. I think it is exactly that. And there would have been talk over the summer to prepare the twins to go to big school about, you're going to big school and, oh my goodness, let's get you ready. And he might be going, here are these two again stealing my thunder, getting in my space. Mm. And that might be, but again, it might be the trigger, but it's lingering quite long now. And he does have his own space in school. He is in senior infants, they're in junior. But at the same time, I think he does need a more focused, dedicated space all to himself where he can work out or process some of those frustrations, because he's sounding like he has a very low frustration threshold, like a lot of little kids do. But his might be a little lower than we'd expect at six.
Yeah. Also, as well, I imagine if he's gone into senior infants and then all of a sudden he has siblings, but they're twins, and twins always get more attention. He's probably getting a bit of, oh, are those twins? You know,
I know. And a bit of it. And there'll be a fuss made over them and a bit of excitement about it. And all of a sudden school isn't just his anymore either.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, that is hard. My son went on a trip with the school hurling team the second week back in September, about a month ago. Ever since he got back, he's been extremely quiet at home, to be honest, like he has changed as a person. He comes out to the car every day after school and doesn't say much. We'll lounge around the house saying little or nothing. And I started going to bed very early, as early as a 14-year-old will go. I've been so worried that I contacted the school to see if something happened on the trip. And to the principal's credit, she went off and did some investigating, only to come back and tell me that they have no record of anything happening on the trip, and neither does the three teachers who were on it. She has told me that he is still very social around school, has been interacting perfectly with his peers on the hurling team, and is perfect in class. I'm very worried because I can tell something is up when he's at home. I've tried to ask him. I get shrugged shoulders in response. I know he's at an age when his hormones could be at play, but I feel there is something a little more up. Could Joanna please help me how I can get my son to speak with me?
Yeah, or it's just to try and get him to open up a bit, I think, because this is a good example of how correlation is not necessarily causation. Because what I'm reading between the lines is the story this parent is telling themselves is something happened on that trip and it has caused him a level of distress such that he is a changed person when he came home. And actually then the school are saying, nope, nothing happened. He's a delight in school. He's the same kid he always was and he's happily engaged. So they're offering that perspective. Now, we also do see kids who work really hard to contain everything in school and to keep school on track. And then there emotionally exhausted when they get home because they've used up all their effort and resources to keep it together in school. So at home, they fall apart or they get quiet or things are different. So it's possible you're both right. The school's experience is accurate and this parent's at home is as well. What I would do at this stage, though, Sean, is I would tell him. I would tell, not in the house now, I think try and do one of these drives in the car or when you're out and about. I think I'd tell him what you're noticing, when you noticed it starting, and then say, look, I could be way off the mark here. I'm hoping I am. But the story I'm telling myself is something happened to you on that trip and you're holding on to it all by yourself. And I want you to know you're not alone with that, that I'm here to listen, support, help, whatever you need. I'm here for you. And if he minimizes, dismisses or shrugs and says nothing happened, I don't know what you're on about, just say that's really reassuring. In other words, believe him, whatever he says to you, and then add on, but I do want to make sure you've heard me, that if there's ever anything that I could just even listen to you on or just provide a listening ear, a shoulder to lean on, that's my job. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here for you. And you keep saying that even if he rolls his eyes and says, no, you're grand, you're planting the seed that you are available to be availed of as and if he needs. Because some of what you're describing, if he hadn't been on a school trip and you're not doing this cause and effect piece, some of this withdrawal, quiet at home, retreating to the bedroom, not telling you as much, is within developmental range for a 14-year-old. Like it, we don't want to psychopathologize everything. And that is quite typical of everything is changing hormonally, physiologically, psychologically. There's so much going on at 14 for kids. And there's a lot of pressures and demands from peers, but they're also pulling away from us as parents in terms of being their important hub of social emotional development. And they're pulling towards their peer group. And it may be that that's what you're dealing with. And it simply happened to coincide with the trip that he was on. Yeah. As opposed to anything having happened on the trip.
Yeah. One last quick question. This is more politics than anything else. My daughter has just started primary school. Her birthday is coming up. She's only just started in a new class. She hasn't made any good friends yet. She just has two friends who came with her from Montessori. I'm wondering, should I invite the whole class to her party or just the friends she already has? I don't want to stand in the way of her making new friends, as she struggled with this in Montessori, but I also don't want to overwhelm her by having too many people. I'm worried if I don't invite others, then she will miss out on other party invites going forward. What should I do?
Oh my God, the politics of parties. It's always something with birthday parties in school. I mean, typically, and I'm a little surprised this hasn't come up in your parent WhatsApp group already, usually somebody announces this is what we'll do as a class. You know, the fiver in the card as gifts or group parties or just 10 kids each. It depends on so many variables. How many children are in the class? If you've 30 children, that's quite a party. Mm. Okay, so that's not always feasible. That's very rarely feasible. But if it's a much smaller class, then maybe you could have everybody. What's your budget? The venue are you hosting at home? All of those variables will decide how many kids. In terms then of how do, if you're saying, look, I'm going to have five or six children at her party, arbitrary number, but just for an example, you could just focus on the names of kids she has mentioned so far. Because yeah. You're only barely in primary school. They're still at that age where they have a new best friend every day of the week, every other week. They're playing with so-and-so and not the next week. So if there's a number of names that you've heard repeated a few times or whoever sits with her at her table, for example, you could use that as a frame of reference and have those kids come. But, you know, have a little quiet word with some of your fellow parents, if even if you don't want to put that out to a 30 parent WhatsApp group or 60 parents, if there's two parents in it, maybe talk to a couple of parents, you know, and say, what's your read on this? What do you think you're going to go with, and get an idea of what the practice in the class will be. There's no right or wrong, though, Sean, in this. It is. And especially if you're one of the first birthday parties of the year, everybody else is probably waiting to see how you do it.
Exactly.
That's probably what's going on. So do what works for you, but be budget, venue. And if you think your daughter gets overwhelmed with loads of kids, then let that be your guide and settle on a number that she sits with at her table or tends to mention.
Joanna, thanks a million as ever. Joanna Fortune there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.